Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Peter King is going to be with us today live at 10:20. And, of course, we're going to talk about the big national story. Peter was on the Today Show this morning. We're going to talk about Tom Brady, obviously, and the Wells Report. I am finding this story, there's two schools of thought here. Either you're jumping up and down for joy because it's the Patriots being busted again and they're a bunch of cheats, or why pick on Tom Brady? Tom Brady doesn't need to be picked on. I've got my thoughts as the show progresses today. There's people now that I look at in this story that are now, it's now starting to take shape. And I have to wonder if we're going to see Tom Brady's attorney, Don Yee, who also represents Sean Payton of the Saints, which I find ironic given Sean Payton and the Saints were in a heap of trouble with Bountygate. Are we going to see this go all the way into court? And Tom Brady's just been getting ripped and his legacy and his name has been shredded here. And is it getting to the point where I read through the agent's response to what happened yesterday in the Wells report, and I'll bring you some of that as the show moves on today, that legally we're going to see this move forward? And then two low-level employees can take an organization. I mean, it just shows you the facade of the NFL or of any pro sports franchise, any business for that matter. You can have the greatest television ratings in the world, but the legal side and behind-the-scenes side, the underbelly just continues to rear its ugly head day after day, week after week, month after month. It's great when the games are going on. I think the league wishes they could just have games year-round because when it's the off-season, oh, you're just looking for things to fill time and fill space about our league. No, you guys cheated. That's all. I mean, and a couple low-level guys is what got you to this point. So what is the next shoe to drop? The discipline aspect, the image part of it, the fallout, all that with Peter King, that comes up in a couple of minutes. And I want a lot of time today because there's other things that are going on I want to get to as well. So let's get you caught up. What is on my mind in the world of sports? Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino for over 3 years now. Been part of Sports360AZ.com, and for over 3 years I've been telling you to head on up to the White Mountains. Head on up to the Cool Pines, of course, next month. It's the White Mountains Sun Devil Club, big annual event. Coach Graham and Coach Hurley and Charlie Turner Thorne and Ray Anderson, all the ASU bigwigs, over 800 people that are going to be there. I'll be emceeing it again. And a lot of people are going to stay at the Honda Resort and Casino because you can get away from it all, pull down in the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, some entertainment in the Timbers Lounge, free entertainment. And do it in the beautiful part of the country. You don't have to wait till next month to do that, though. You can go this week, this weekend. Why not head up to the Honda Resort and Casino? Simple to get to. It's worth the drive. About 3 hours from downtown Phoenix, but around the country, as you take in sports360az.com, look at the Honda Resort and Casino, the place to go visit. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Peter King in about 10 minutes. So what, if any, penalties should Tom Brady received from Deflategate? That is obviously one topic of conversation. The low-level employees, so the text messages that were sent out, that has been the one aspect of this that you've got two employees that are sitting there going back and forth, Jastrzemski and McNally. And the text messages, we have those for you to see. Jastrzemski is talking about Tom is acting crazy about balls. This is on October 16th of 2014. October 2016. McNally goes back, Tom blank. I'm going to make that ball a blanking balloon. Jastrzemski, talked to him last night. He actually brought you up and said you must have a lot of stress trying to get them done. McNally, the only thing deflating, son, is his passing rating.
Zing!
So
Tom Brady is a high-maintenance baby, is what I'm getting from these back-and-forth texts from these ball boys, managers, whatever you want to call them.
I'm going to make the next ball a bleaking balloon. Of course I am. I'm going to blow this thing up. These are two guys that are supposed to be at the world's most popular, or our country. It's not the world's most popular sport. Our country's most popular sport. And the NFL can't seem to have a protocol, a code of conduct, a way of going about their business to where two schmoes are going to lose their jobs. They're going to have to go in the witness protection program. Funny part about this with Tom Brady, and again, I think the most interesting aspect of this is October 16th of last year. This is all the way back in October. So how long had this been going on? Well, Jake Plummer with us earlier. Jake Plummer said Tom Brady has been pulling this stuff for years.
Brady sent me a letter that I signed and sent to the commissioner that asked that QBs be allowed to condition the balls themselves so that since we have it in our hands every play. So, you know, obviously, you know, it's something I think, you know, QBs should have a say in how the ball feels, but there is a set rules that you have to follow, and the Patriots crossed that by after they were checked and they were all good, obviously they went and let air out of them so that they could, you know, play better. Now, it didn't matter. They beat the Colts hands down. The blitzes that they ran on the Colts offense didn't have an effect by that, but it's just crossing that line. It, again, gives you more fuel to either, whether you like the Patriots or not, you obviously, you're going to be rooting against them now. They're cheaters. No one likes a cheater.
All right, that was Jake Plummer with me earlier. Very strong stuff there. The newest, to advance this story, because you've heard about this, and I'm always big on, let's put context behind this. You know, let's not just sit here and throw something out and get a whole bunch of clicks and has no credibility and no nothing in the way of journalism about it. That's not what I'm about. You can find that stuff a lot of places. I am Whole Foods and Sprouts, okay? High end, that's what we aim for. That's what we shoot for every day. Don't always hit it, but that's what we aim for. Don Yee is the latest name to come into this. He is Tom Brady's agent. And he this morning released a report. I'm going to read some of it. I'm not going to go all the way through it. The Wells report, with all due respect, is a significant and terrible disappointment. Its omission of key facts and lines of inquiry suggests the investigators reached a conclusion first and then determined so-called facts later. One fact alone taints this entire report. What does it say about the league's office's protocols and ethics when it allows one team to tip it off to an issue prior to a championship game? And no league officials or game officials notified the Patriots of the same issue prior to the game. This suggests it may be more probable than not that the league cooperated with the Colts in penetrating a sting operation. The Wells report buries this issue in a footnote on page 46 without any further elaboration. So Don Yee is somebody that is highly regarded, highly respected. I'm going to talk to Peter about him because Peter knows and has dealt with him here in about 7-8 minutes. He's not somebody that is a publicity-seeking agent who's on the market to get his next client. Again, he aims pretty darn high. When you have Tom Brady as your guy, when you have Sean Payton as your guy, you don't need too many guys. He's been in the business since he was 13 years of age, working as a bat boy for the Sacramento Salons. But Don Yee is now becoming a figure in this. We didn't know his name. Like, Eric, do you ever know who Brady's agent was? Any idea?
No clue.
Right. So he's taking the front here because, from my understanding, if Brady speaks now on this matter, it can be used to against him in a court of law. So when he was out here the week of the Super Bowl and was smiling and charming and beautiful looking to the ladies that were there and all that nonsense, he wasn't being truthful. And so Don Yee has a big job in front of him, but I agree with Don Yee. How does the league, you know, the protocols and ethics of the league, and the rest of his story is pretty compelling. So we're going to get into that with Peter here in about 5 minutes. There's some local things going on that I find to be very interesting. You may not, I do. That's what I talk about every day. And I think you will see my point here. So tonight, the Diamondbacks are doing something called Throwback Thursday Nights. Augie Ojeda, who you'll never see throw out another first pitch, is going to throw one to Junior Spivey. Everything that's done in professional sports, and even on the collegiate level to a certain extent, everything that's done in professional sports is done under the, I say, calculation and trying to gauge the fan experience, okay? So I bring that up because for many years, fans have told me they have refused to support the Diamondbacks because they got rid of the colors that they won the World Series in. Give me another team who said, we shouldn't have these uniforms that we won a world title in. And when Jeff Morad was here and they painted everything red that could be within sight to try to remove the memory and put pictures in black and white and just stuff that was ridiculous, okay? So tonight is Throwback Thursday night, and every Thursday home game is going to be Throwback Thursday night. This is a smart move by Derek Hall. This is a smart move by the Diamondbacks because they're hearing from many fans that have said, you know what, I'm not going to be a part of this as much as I was back when they first started. And they've lost a lot of those fans. Now, I would make the point, the team has blown for several years, so people don't care. I mean, Eric, does it impact you that they did that?
Not
with the uniforms?
Not particularly.
Have
but
you heard that
but
same
I will say
thing?
This. I will say this.
Yeah.
It's smart that the Diamondbacks are doing this for a couple reasons. Number one, it's only Thursday home games. And number two, as you know, Brad, a lot of times the off days are on Thursday. So it's not going to be every – it's going to be like once a month.
A little toe in the water.
Yeah, once a month, maybe every, you know, 5 weeks we're going to get these – and maybe this is their way. If you think they're going to be completely like, do you think they're going to be circling back to the teal and the
no, I don't,
the white? And
I think that they should strongly look at every aspect because merchandise sales are a big part of the revenue.
Sure.
If people aren't buying red, then you know it's a smart way to go back to your
and
past.
They're doing everything to distract the product on the field.
The product on the field is not as bad.
No, it's
it
not.
Used to be.
But they revamped the food. They introduced the churro dog. Blah 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 blah. Now this Throwback Thursday. I'm fine with it. I've got no problem with it.
Okay, so they signed Jared Saltalamacchia today. Jared Saltalamacchia, I got to ask Peter about this too because he was in Boston when the Red Sox. He actually was a big part of the Red Sox winning a World Series in 2013. The Diamondbacks sign him. He has 2 hits and 29 at bats, and he has 12 strikeouts. He struck out 12 of the 29 times. What's the point here? Well, it's defense. Is it leadership? I don't know. Ruby De La Rosa's on the mound tonight, but they've got to find something because the bottom part of their lineup has no offense. Your guys, Markieff and Marcus Morris, are in court today. Last night, the Rockets and Clippers shot 96 free throws. I want to get into that. The Cleveland Cavaliers need to fire their marketing and some people. They had two things that went real awry last night. Derrick Rose, some numbers about him that show if you're a Bulls fan, you darn well better be concerned. And some ASU football. They're going to move their sidelines. Is this a big deal or not? I'll talk to you about that because I've heard from season ticket holders. They're not happy. So we'll get into that as well as we move on. But up next, Peter King, all things around the National Football League, SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmatt.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
At that moment in mid 2005, I think it was 2006, I got a letter and a call from Brady that they were wanting to see if I was on their side and wanted to be able to us the QBs condition our footballs. And of course I was.
Tom Brady that Jake talked about, that Tom Brady's been pulling these antics for years, according to Jake. This is another voice that's out there. But moving the story forward, as I like to advance, at Sports 360 AZ, we partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports, Deflategate, the next shoe to drop, the discipline aspect, the fallout, the image. Who, in fact, is Don Yee? I think it's a very interesting side that he has taken this morning. And Peter King is able to join us now, the MMQBs. I appreciate you being on board because I know this is a busy time for you. What is your just general view of this story in the last 24 hours?
Brad, I think the thing that worries me the most, and as far as, I don't even want to say the rush to judgment. I want to say that, when Tom Brady dies, 70, 60, 50 years from now, and the New York Times writes his obituary, if he's suspended for X number of games or, hit with some big sanction over this, that's going to be in the second paragraph of his New York Times obituary. It's going to be just part B. Part A, he won 4 Super Bowls. B, The NFL branded him a cheater in 2015. So there's a lot of circumstantial evidence, a lot. And the NFL has, I think, convicted people, some people, or found them guilty of things on less evidence. But I guess my feeling is, I think that especially with a player of this magnitude, I'm not saying treat them differently. I'm just saying they should be extremely careful with one of the guys who's a cornerstone player in this league over the last 20, 30 years.
You've seen it all over the last 20, 30 years within this league. You've seen Bountygate. You've seen the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson, and you've seen the highs and the lows of the league. How dark of a time is this for the league in regards to their marquee best quarterback of all time in many people's opinions now being in the crosshairs? And why would the league throw him under the bus with this report, Peter?
Well, because there's a lot of circumstantial evidence. There certainly is. Anybody who reads that report has to say, boy, this doesn't look good for Brady. But as to why things, about the dark time for the league, you know, you're right. It obviously would be a really big black eye for the league. But I think, you know, when you think about it, Brad, is this event going to make anybody around the league? Is this event going to mean that 5,000 people in the Valley are not going to go to the Cardinals opener this year? I doubt it.
Sure, sure.
And again, I'm trying not to be flip about this, but I'm just trying to basically say that I think that when you're sort of in the middle of the maelstrom, as we are right now, you tend to think, man, it's going to be awful for the league. And you know what? It might be. But I view it as a pretty isolated occurrence. Like, I've never heard of anybody doing this before. And so, I mean, I think it'd be one thing if there was a spate of quarterbacks around the league, if Carson Palmer and Philip Rivers and Peyton Manning and Eli Manning had some secret society where they debate, okay, once the balls leave the referee's locker room, how can we get 2 pounds per square inch out of them before they go to the field? Mm-hmm. You know? So I do think that there's I tend to think probably when you're right in the middle of it, it looks pretty bad. It's not good, but I'm not sure it's anything that's going to damage the league long term.
Does he, I'm getting a lot of questions this morning, and Peter King with us, the MMQB, as always here on Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. The penalty phase, everybody wants to run into from one to the next. Let's move the narrative forward, moving it forward. He's not going to speak tonight at this event. I can't believe that he would. And Don Yee is now the name that nobody knew who Don Yee was. And for Don Yee, the agent for Tom Brady, to move forward. He also represents Sean Payton, from my understanding. How well do you know Don Yee, and were you surprised with his aggressive response?
Oh, no, I know Don. I've always admired Don because he has always, when Tom Brady has asked him to do certain things with his contract that don't necessarily look good with other agents and trying to get the last dollar from the Patriots, because Brady has never done that. He's a lot of times given money back or taken a lot less money to play for the Patriots. But I think one of the things that Don has always been, he's basically been fiercely protective of his client, and that's what he is doing here today in basically issuing a staunch defense of him.
He wrote the Wells report, with all due respect, this is for the audience that's jumped in there. I'm sure, Peter, you've read it. The Wells report, with all due respect, is a significant and terrible disappointment. Its omission of key facts and lines of inquiry suggests the investigators reached a conclusion first and then determined so-called facts later. Based on what you've seen so far in the Wells report, you've read it yourself, and you hear Don Yee's response, do you tend to agree with Don Yee, or do you think the Wells report was thorough and it wasn't sloppy?
I think there's some things in the Wells report that Wells tries to portray as 2 + 2 = 4 when they just don't add up. Like, can I give you this thing? This drove me crazy when I was reading it. Now, again, he may have had a quid pro quo deal with John Jastrzemski and Jim McNally to, okay, if you get the air out of the footballs every week for me, then, or every home game, however it works, if you get the air out of the footballs for me, then I will sign X amount of items for you or whatever. But there's this jump to assume in these several pages of text and things like this when Wells, sort of uncovers all this stuff that Brady signed for these guys. Now, Tom Brady is a serial signer. Okay. You know, if anybody in the organization asks them to do anything, he basically does it. Most quarterbacks are like that. I bet Carson Palmer, spends an average of 10 minutes a week just signing stuff at the Cardinals facility for strangers or for people in the organization he barely knows. And, you know, he's Carson Palmer. That's not Tom Brady. But I've always known, around the Patriots, that Tom signs whatever they want him to sign. So I just don't view that as any big deal at all that he's signing stuff for these guys. That was probably the biggest example that I saw in the report of something that they say that they write about that seems significant to someone who wouldn't either know Brady. There's no context to that provided.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's terribly misleading.
Does this end up in court, Peter?
Is what now?
Does this end up going through the legal system at some point? I've had that question asked by a number of fans that think that Brady.
It's a good question. I doubt it, but because I think for it to go in the legal system, that I think Brady would have to be comfortable with his life being turned upside down, and some very significant things that he I guess didn't share because he refused to share his cell phone records or email records with the investigators. I mean, there was some reason. Maybe it's just he wants those kept private, or maybe there's something in there that he doesn't want people to see. I don't know, but I think if he did go forward legally, he'd have to be, I think, exceedingly more open with his relationship with these guys, and he'd have to be, I'd say he'd just have to be more of an open book, and I don't know that he'd want to do that. Plus, with no guarantee that he'd win, I doubt it, but I don't know the answer to that.
Peter King with us, MMQB. The response internally with the Patriots from Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, what have you been able to ascertain, if anything, on this in the last 24 hours?
I think Kraft, his statement spoke a lot for how he feels. I think he's angry. I think he's a little despondent, if I can read his mood correctly, because he just has always tried to do things, at least my sense of this is, he's got a great team. I was saying yesterday to somebody about this whole thing. I said, this reminds me in a lot of sort of the glee that other teams take and other fan groups take in this. They just love seeing the Patriots get slapped. It reminds me of, if the Cowboys and Tex Schramm in the 70s got slapped or, the Steelers got slapped. I mean, the Raiders. A lot of times when a team is on top, people rejoice in the, when something bad happens to them because they're just tired of them winning all the time. But I think that plus the fact that in this case, especially going back to Spygate, I think people just view what the Patriots do with suspicion. There's nothing they can do about it. This just adds to it. It's a whole classic America in unison basically saying, see, I told you so.
Vegas has taken the Pat Steelers off the board. What's your gut on in terms of punishment to Brady? Will it be a suspension?
Oh, my gut feeling is it would be, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. Again, I think Roger Goodell is going to have to look at the circumstantial evidence and decide if he trusts the circumstantial evidence. If he does trust the circumstantial evidence, then my guess is that he and Troy Vincent are going to come down hard on him. But again, I'm not in there. I'm not in their offices. I'm not with them examining the evidence that Ted Wells found.
Right, right.
The other thing, and I wrote this morning at the MMQB, that I think people should understand is that there's 31 other teams watching. And, you know, if it's a slap on the wrist, I think there's going to be a lot of people around the league who are going to be looking at this basically saying, see, and his friendship with Kraft colored the decision he made here.
A couple of things I'll let you go. I appreciate your time as always. The Cardinals draft, did you make anything out of it other than, from my view, it was black and blue. Let's go address line. Let's go address bulk size in the NFC West. Now it's all behind you. I know you're caught up in Brady. You have a thought, though, on the Cardinal draft?
Well, you know, I thought it was, I mean, you sort of knew that they were going to address tackle, you know, right away. There was no way around that. They absolutely had to address the line. You know, as they did in free agency with Yapati. And I mean, they're now, I think they feel really comfortable, especially if Cooper comes back competently. There's no guarantee of that, but I think they now feel a lot better about their line than they did at the end of the season. I think an interesting pick in the fourth round, Rodney Gunter, the defensive lineman from Delaware State, who nobody really knows. I mean, you're watching TV and that pick comes up and all the draft analysts are looking at each other and saying, who the heck is that guy? And that was sort of a late discovery by the Cardinals people. And I think they're really excited about him as well. So, I mean, as usual, we'll never know for a couple of years.
Right.
But I think it was an intriguing draft for them.
Hey, Jared Saltalamacchia shows up here today, and you're a Red Sox guy, and they won the World Series in 2013. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat using the old line. He has two hits and 29 ABs. Diamondbacks catching offensively has not been any good. What do you know about Salty, Peter? Do you have anything for me on that one?
I love the guy as a player and as a selfless, you know, person and teammate and all that. He was really well-liked on the team. He just wasn't a very good defensive catcher.
Ew.
And I think in the end, that's why the Red Sox didn't aggressively go after him. And hey, he wasn't going to get 3 years, $21 million with the Red Sox after 13. So he left. And I mean, I think I'm sure it's a minimum salary deal. I think it's a really good pickup to have as one of your two catchers. You know, he's a pro, really, really a good person. He was very well liked on the team. I'm sure that he'll fit in that locker room.
Yeah, well, he's got Ruby pitching tonight, and your Wade Miley pickup, I don't know if I want to bring it up.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, fourth starters, every third start, they stink. So, I don't know. I that's just the way I always look at that. And I don't know. You know, the Red Sox have bigger problems than Wade Miley right now. I mean, a lot bigger ones. But anyway, I think his track record says he'll give him a lot of innings, and he's a pro, and he works fast, so his fielders like him.
Yeah, yeah. Stay well. I know you're busy. Thanks for the time, as always.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
See ya. There's Peter King for a couple of minutes. Don't rush to judgment. Very much wanting to say the right thing. He was searching there a few times because there's a lot of moving parts on this, and I just think that Don Yee, if this thing with Tom Brady, because I'm getting pummeled here with questions about the legal side of this at some point, if his image is taken down by this league, that right off the top, Peter, was pretty interesting on that front too, about they've got to be really careful on this one. Okay, so on the other side, some of the NBA stuff from last night. Your guys, the Morrises, are in court today. James Harden draws fouls. I don't know how he does it. And the Cavaliers have some dopes in their front office. And I don't mean David Griffin. I mean just dopes that are trying to plan things, these entertainment people. They had two things blow up on them last night. I'll get into that. And then Derrick Rose as well. A lot of NBA on the other side. I'm Brad Sismat. Last videos are coming out of the break of Ryan Kelly, the quarterback over Basha. He was offered last night by UCLA. He was offered first by ASU and U of A. I think U of A actually offered him before ASU. So Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content, by the way. High school, college, pro, up on our site. Thanks again to Peter King. He joins us every week, the Monday morning quarterback in Sports Illustrated. He's part of our staff of insiders. Pedro Gomez, ESPN, comes on board with us every week. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykuntz, and others. We're adding some more, too. We're going to add a few more as our partnership with AZ Central. It's great. So we want to make sure that we have plenty of fresh content and fresh voices, new voices, not the same old guys in and out that you hear all over the place. All right, so let me get into the games last night. I watched both games. I didn't watch as much of Cleveland and Chicago. It was in the late afternoon. But what I did see at the end was LeBron doing his thing. And the post-game comments caught my eye on that game. Derrick Rose said we had a nonchalant attitude. I don't know how you can have a nonchalant attitude when you're in the playoffs and you already won one game at Cleveland. Chicago got blitzed by the Cavaliers, 106-91. The thing about this series, it's really interesting, is Derrick Rose, from here on out, will only have one day off in between games. Now you're thinking, well, what's the big deal about that? Remember, Derrick Rose is coming off of a knee, an arthroscopy of his knee, arthroscopic procedure. 14 points on one day's rest is what he averages with just one day off. He averages 14 points per game. When Derrick Rose has 2 days rest, he averages 24.2 points per game. He averages 10 points more. Now, is that by coincidence? And that's from the end of March in April when he came back onto the court to now. When he has 2 days off, he's a much, much better, much more explosive player. So if you're a fan of the Bulls going forward, he doesn't have any more 2 days, 3 days off. It's a big part of it. The people at the Cavaliers, David Griffin's terrific, and I'm sure if he were to call in right now, if I were to talk to him, he would defend his people. But I have to tell you, this is just dopey stuff. So last night, and this impacts the Suns fan too, last night the Cavaliers were supposed to do Kevin Love Sling Night. Of course they were. Kevin Love, of course, is gone for the rest of the season. They're going to have slings for fans to put on their arms, because they wanted to support Kevin Love and show that, you know, we feel for you, Kevin. A couple problems surfaced, though. Like an hour before the game, somebody said, well, if you're wearing a sling, it's kind of hard to clap. Yeah, so fans, put your sling on, but you can't clap. So there was that.
I thought you were going to say they made the wrong sling. They gave him, like, they gave
the wrong
away,
side.
Yeah, they gave away right slings instead of left slings.
I mean, that
would have been embarrassing too.
The other side of it is somebody said, you know what, this might be insulting to Kevin Love. So again, people sit around, they come in at 9 a.m., you know, they got all their papers and they got their books and they sit down and they've got their Starbucks or their water and their procured water, and they're all dressed up, and they're all done up, and what can we do that's really good? I think we should do a sling night. What a great idea. Let's go order slings for everybody. Let's order 20,000 of them. That'll be a big show of support, and Kevin will want to stay here. He'll see that we really care about him. A sling night, of course. Who knew? Maybe it's a bad idea.
I've got a better idea. Just me brainstorming it right here.
Yeah.
Get a big shirt with a heart on it.
Yeah.
And then have the sling as part of the t-shirt. And have it in like a Cavs color.
That's really smart.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really not that hard, is it?
I'm putting in my 2 weeks. Today will be my last day on the show. I'll be
finished.
I'll be brainstorming for my new job for the rest of the 2 weeks.
Rest of your life. Then there's the people that run the video board in Cleveland. How about these brain surgeons? They decided to show a skit of a guy in Cavs gear throwing his girlfriend across the room until she took off her Bulls gear. The guy slammed her to the ground, and she's wearing an ice pack, and they put it up on the video board. I don't know. In this day and age of spousal abuse, is there anything funny about it? Two examples. You know, it's like the two guys in Deflategate that are sitting there being Beavis and Butthead, you know. I'm going to make that into a balloon. I don't know. Sports. Sometimes you just roll your eyes. On the floor last night, so Houston beat the Clippers. And in this game last night, James Harden clearly was the story. Harden late in the game for the Rockets.
Rockets up the floor. Prezioni drop pass to Harden. Bears down, pulls up, fires a three. Got it, James Harden. Harden has nailed a couple of triples here in the quarter. He has 24 points. And Houston with a lead of 9.
It's Kevin Calabro. So he finished with 32. He found his rhythm, he found his balance, all those terms you want to use. And he played very, very well. Here's the thing about James Harden that I was going to call Doug Tamaro, the ace over at ASU this morning. Eric, do you remember when Harden was with, I didn't get a chance to call Doug. Do you remember when Harden was here? Was he always able to get to the free throw line with ease?
Yes.
Okay. Did he shoot? And I remember that too, but I don't remember him.
He
having
shot a lot of free throws from what I remember.
And that's what I wanted to get. I remember they shot a lot, but has there been anybody since him in the Pac-12 that's been able to put the numbers up? Because James was here for a short period of time, but there's nobody that I've ever seen, ever in the history of the NBA that I've seen. I haven't seen all the history of the NBA. I may be old. I'm not that old. That has been able to draw fouls like James Harden. I don't know if it's because he's left-handed. You know, if guys just aren't used to playing against somebody who's left-handed. Like last night down the stretch, there was a couple possessions where James went right to his left for easy layups. Dudes, take away his left.
And he's deceptively quick. And I think, you know, he sort of has the rope-a-dope where he just looks like he's not quick, but he beats you with that first step.
Sure.
And then when he gets to the rim, he's going to finish. Doesn't matter who's back there defending. I mean, there were a couple times that Jordan was back there in the paint ready to block the shot, and he either put it right over his fingertips and just banked it off the glass.
All right, what do we make out of 96 free throws last night?
They only made like 36 of the 96?
I mean, an NBA game where they shot 96 free throws.
And that coupled with the fact that Walt Weiss made like 75 pitching changes when the Diamondback game in game one was like 9-1.
Right.
So we have extended baseball during the day NBA at night. But now it's just the way the refs call the games. They all call them a little bit different. There's not a lot of consistency.
No. I'll disagree with you on that. So as I'm watching the game last night, okay, in the third quarter, Kevin McHale and Doc Rivers are grabbing onto players and intentionally fouling them.
And that definitely stunts the number a bit.
I mean, it was, Eric, like, really, with 6 minutes to go in the third, you're going to take a possession away? Because that's all that is.
Well, you have two of the worst free throw shooters in the league in Jordan and Howard.
The rims by the end of the last night had no paint left on them because they were all chipped off, and the backboards had chips. And there was glass chippers and paint chippers last night. It's really hard to watch. 96 free throws. If you're a fan to try to sit through that, the good part was Shaq fell off the set at halftime, so I knew they were going to run that over and over and over, and actually spray painted his body on the floor, which was entertaining. The other side that was good, too, was that there was a lip-sync contest with Kenny and Charles, and so there was that to watch in Shaq, too. And it wasn't anything great, but it was just still something that was fun to watch and get me through the night. Tonight, and all four playoff series now are tied at a game apiece. Tonight, you have Memphis Golden State. I said yesterday, it's not the most entertaining series to watch. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing to watch, even with the MVP and Steph Curry, who's the best around in shooting. However, Memphis's defense, if you're into defense, like Tony Allen is one of the better defensive players that nobody knows about in the league. Tony Allen's defense on Klay Thompson is worth watching tonight. And finally, the Dopey Morris boys are in court today, Markieff and Marcus, who I really wish the Suns would please part ways with them. of all the moves that need to be made, Markieff and Marcus are two that have to be gone from this roster. They've been here long enough. They've embarrassed the organization. They've talked back to their coach, not just talked back, screaming and yelling, disrespected the coach, have not been consistent, are not leaders, no way to explain it. So I want to see that move forward. All right, on the other side, so another bowl game for the Pac-12, and some news about Arizona State moving their sidelines. That has some people buzzing this morning. I want to get into that too. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So Bob Kravitz from the Indianapolis Star is the guy that first broke this, and now his family is getting threatened. I mean, come on. Is this what Patriot fans are all about? Patriot fans have this view about them that, you know, we're going to go after you and we're going to try to embarrass you. And this is our way of getting back after you. So that story, it's just disgusting. Guy's just doing his job and pointing it out. If you have anybody to be upset with, it would be Ted Wells. But that story caught my eye today. Arizona State football, before I even get into the ASU with this thing with the stadium, because I don't think it's that big of a deal, but some people do. Phil Steele, who we've had on the show several times. Eric, we like Phil Steele, right? He's one of the best guys around.
Very well-respected. Right. Well-respected voice in college football.
So Phil Steele is putting out his annual magazine, and he put a tweet out this morning that I thought was interesting. He said, if you were selecting my Pac-12 regional cover players, who would you choose for Pac-12? So Phil's working on his magazine. He's trying to figure out which guys to put on the cover of his magazine here in Arizona. You know, if you look at ASU football, it would have to be DJ Foster, wouldn't it? Or would you go with Anu Solomon? If you're trying to sell more publications, if you're Phil Steele, and you're doing something regional, you've got your Southwest edition of it.
Does it have to be an ASU or U of A player?
Well, you could have it be a Utah or Colorado player, but it's Southwest. It's his Pac-12 regional. So they're not going to put DJ Foster and try and sell it in Oregon. They're not going to do it in up at the Bay Area. No. They'll put Kevin Hogan on it at the Bay Area.
Yeah, Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler will be on it. It'll be quarterbacks,
right? Of course. I'd have to say DJ Foster.
Over Anu Solomon?
I would think so.
You think you'd sell more because, what, is there a more passionate fan? I mean, who went to the bigger bowl game last year?
Well, DJ Foster's
U of A did.
DJ Foster's a senior, and right? He's been relevant for 3 years. And Solomon's been relevant for 1 year.
Okay.
So, and although U of A made the
They've never made the Rose Bowl.
Made the Fiesta Bowl last year.
When you say Rose Bowl and U of A that people just jump.
I still think there's more buzz nationally about ASU. And they're going to be the higher-ranked team going into this year. I've seen ASU as high as like 13, and I've seen U of A somewhere in the low teens.
Yeah. They're both teens. Yeah. I've seen a lot of these preseason publications already in polls. Like Joe Shad had USC and UCLA. He had UCLA fourth. Had UCLA fourth and had USC ninth. Like the Pac-12 South, if you're just breaking it down here now that spring football is done, and Phil Steele's trying to figure out his regional cover guy.
Yeah, good luck in the Pac-12 South. There's any of four teams could win it. I mean, USC has to be the front runner. UCLA is going to be good. ASU is going to be good. U of A is going to be good. Utah is going to be good.
SEC West, Pac-12 South. Best divisions in football. Right? We're not even going to debate that?
I would think so.
Or are the Big Ten people going to jump in and say, hey, what about us?
Not top to bottom.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Not top to bottom. I mean, the Big Ten's very top heavy with Ohio State.
And the Big 12, there's nobody there that's going to be able to put up an argument. I think Pac-12 South, to me, the Pac-12 South is a little bit better.
Baylor and TCU are both going to be top six teams going into next year. Not that means anything.
But the rest of it,
Yeah, but you still have Oklahoma. You have Oklahoma State. It'll be better. But, yeah, you're probably right.
We should have Phil on the show next week because I think we could help him out with this. The other college football story, this may not mean much to some of you. Some of you will never go to an Arizona State Sun Devil football game. But a lot of you do, and I've heard from the season ticket holders about the price of tickets going up with the stadium reconstruction going on, and it's not been pretty from what I've been hearing, but it's happening. In addition to 8,000 season ticket holders and 13,000 students moving to new seats this coming year because of the construction, Arizona State football is going to go over to the west sideline. I, for the life of me, have never understood why they haven't been on the west sideline to begin with. And I'm sure there's somebody that's going to say, well, it has to do with the tradition back in the 70s of Coach Kush. And again, I would say, I don't understand why you would go over and be on the east sideline when you're playing a game against Notre Dame. I don't know. It seems to me to be looking right into the sun. When you're playing Washington State, you're looking right into the sun. What is the point of this?
And the students usually don't sit behind the home team's bench, but at ASU they do.
Well, they did. The Pac-12,
they did, I should say.
The Pac-12 has a rule in place that does not allow the student section to sit behind the visiting team.
Oh.
Pac-12 has that rule in place.
There must have been an incident, finger quotes.
Well, it's kind of like I've always felt at the basketball games that the student section is too close to the visiting team's bench. At ASU, there's been problems there forever until this, you know, the curtain of distraction came along this year. But there's always going to be one just beyond stupid person that sits in the student section and does stuff that shouldn't be done, and you're that close to a bench. And you hear stuff out of there, and it's been going on for 20-plus years. So Todd Graham actually had to weigh in on this about the Sun Devils putting their bench on the west side. Coach Graham prefers them to be in part for better shading during day games. What do you know? Todd Graham saying to the Arizona Republic, quote, "That's our home side, and logistically it's the best place for us to be. And you can play a day game and the sun's not in your face. It's just a natural deal that you would be on the side of the press box." Yes, it's just little things that through the years, it feels to me like, are they just kind of backwards over here for the last 15, 20 years? They're doing some things that have needed to be done all along. It may not seem like much to anybody, but if you're a U of A guy, you don't get this. You laugh at this. You don't understand this. It's fine. Ray Anderson expects most fans will understand the move because of the stadium reconstruction. That's what the head coach wants. It's an advantage for us to be on the sideline out of the sun. He thinks it's a change that will be beneficial to us. I'm going to hope our fans will see that as a driving force and adapt very quickly. You don't blame people for having, this is Ray Anderson, quote, "You don't blame people for having traditions, but sometimes you make a change for the better and there'll be short-term anxiety about it. I think that when they understand this is something that the head coach wanted for the benefit of the team, that folks will come along and understand and just enjoy the experience. It makes sense sequentially to do it this way, so that's why of the timing." Ray is being very, very good on this because there are creatures of habit. People that if they don't show up and they have their seat exactly where it was, they go nuts. If their parking place isn't where it was, they're nuts. If they have to go a different way to work, they lose their minds. If things just don't go as so every day, they can't really adapt. It brings anxiety. For the athletic director to say short-term anxiety, oh my gosh, the team is on the other side of the field. How can this be?
The best is the end of this release that ASU sent this morning. The very last sentence. ASU's seven-game home schedule includes Pac-12 South foe USC.
Yeah.
Defending Pac-12 champion Oregon.
Yeah.
And the Territorial Cup, period.
Yeah.
See anything wrong with that last sentence?
It's, you know.
The seven-game home schedule includes Pac-12 South foe USC.
I know.
Defending Pac-12 champion Oregon and the Territorial Cup, period.
Yeah, I know. I know. When they play Arizona, I mean, it's just...
don't say the word. We can't just put in the release.
It's funny. It's like...
The Territorial Cup, period.
I've had some people, not at ASU, and you know what? If they get in their meetings, it's fine. But I've had some big cigars have said to me, why do you do so much around the U of A? Because it's college sports. It's college football. I am not on the payroll for either school.
And there are quite a few alum living in the greater valley that went to U of A.
Look, here's the thing on this. U of A's basketball program has been far more relevant for far much longer than Arizona State just kind of pretending basketball has been important. And they have not made it important. So, of course, I'm going to pay attention to them. I have my business to run. When both football programs are good, you know, and who's been traveling with ASU football for the last 3 years I've done this? Me. You know, I don't fly on planes with the teams or any of that nonsense. We do our thing when we see things that are of importance. So the Arizona game, for those of you who don't know the Territorial Cup, what that is, when they play Arizona on November 21st. So, I feel like it can't get here quick enough. We say that about college football. But given the fact that both programs within the state are actually now really interesting, because they were not interesting, either one of them, they weren't interesting.
And they have polarizing head coaches, too, which always helps.
When Dennis Erickson and Stoops were here, it sounded great, but it wasn't. Dennis was mailing it in, and Stoops was acting crazy like he lost his mind on plays and would come out onto the field and act like a complete fool. And they'd get their heads kicked in front of 25, 30,000 fans. When you have athletic directors like Ray Anderson and Greg Byrne who are really, really, really good, it has nothing to do with Tempe or Tucson. You know? The last point on this is the Australia Bowl. So, that's right. There's another bowl game that has been decided upon, and that is the Pac-12 and Big 12. They've had their meetings here at the Biltmore for this last week. And they've decided to put another bowl game together. Most of you will say, the last thing we need is another bowl game. I would say to you, every December, around the holidays, nothing but bowl games is on because they all get ratings points. And so to go play in Australia, think of it this way. They'll play that game live over there, and with the time change over here, it'll be in the middle of the night, right?
How is the school going to be profitable going to a bowl?
They're not going
to
be.
Going a lower-tier team going to a bowl game where you have to put your band and all the equipment on a plane and take it to Melbourne or wherever this game's going to be.
What do we care? We're going to go.
Well, but that's the big...
We are going to root for ASU.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Oh, I thought you were going to say...
If Cal is playing Texas Tech,
we're going to
care about that.
No, okay.
No. Look, if either one of these teams blows at the start of the year, our whole existence is play for Australia.
Talk about an upgrade. I was in El Paso last December.
Hey, Eric. Let's go to the Australia Bowl.
On a day trip, by the way, so thank you for that.
Let's go find, and it was a good day trip. Let's go find a couple sponsors, a couple partners, and we'll go to Australia. Why not? This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. This is a good segue here.
They already have an Outback Bowl.
They do have an Outback Bowl.
Sorry.
Here's the thing, though. So General Manager Tim Hovick from day one said to me, I see your vision. I see where you want to travel. You are right. People do care. And we've done this for 3 years. We've partnered together. So if I go to him and say, hey, Tim, Australia Bowl, we'll go. We'll go. The Santan Ford partnership, it's very, very simple. It's about people. It's about relationships. It's about shaking hands with somebody and having an agreement. It's about through the ups and downs in business. You know, Tim's been with me since day one. I've been with Tim for pretty close to when she started Santan Ford. And Santan Ford continues to grow by leaps and bounds. Very good people that are there. I drive the Ford Fusion. My wife drives an Explorer that we purchased, a certified pre-owned Explorer. Makes a lot of sense for us in our daily busy life as we go through day after day and going places with our kids and events. And for me, on the business side of things, as I've grown this, the Ford Fusion, for me, 52 miles to the gallon I was getting this morning when I pulled in here to our palatial Scottsdale studios. And I'll go from here to meetings today and do my thing. It's in the Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. How about you? Stop on in to Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista or shop online at santanford.com. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Day in and day out, there's plenty of content on our site, sports360az.com. We do high school, college, pro, things around Arizona. We have some national stuff, too. We partner with Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. If you're a fantasy football guy, you're around. Great stuff there. Peter King, as always, the Monday morning quarterback from Sports Illustrated. He's with me every week. ESPN's Pedro Gomez with me every week. Paula Bovin, AZ Central columnist, with us every week. Bill Goody Coons, Goody at the Movies. Good stuff. Check out our site. Thanks for being with us.